Well, here we are in our Bible study segment. Ladies, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel. And our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Well, the Israelites have finally realized that they need to come before God. They need to come before Him in repentance, and that they need to make their relationship with Him right, as we've seen over the last several days. And today we're going to see what happens immediately after they've made that decision to follow God, to get right with God, and what happens. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 7 through 15. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage battle in Israel. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. And he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as judge over all Israel all the days of his life. Remember from yesterday that after 20 years, the Israelites are finally repenting of their arrogance and their idol worship, and they're seeking God. Samuel has agreed to intercede for the people, seeing that they have set aside their idols, and as yet they are still not right with God. As this is happening, the Israelites have their repentance and their trust in God tested immediately. So the Israelites had gathered to seek God, to repent, and to give their hearts back to Him. And the Philistines see them gathering, and they think either the Israelites are going to attack the Philistines, so hey, let's attack them first, a preemptive strike, or they're thinking, hey, they're all gathered in one place, let's get them. Israel faces a choice here: cling to God, whom they have just begun to repair their relationship with, or turn and run, or turn back to their imaginary gods. They choose wisely. They choose to run to Samuel and beg him to continue interceding for them, especially now against the Philistines. Samuel makes an offering, and God uses his thunder to throw the Philistines into a panic. That must have been some thunder. Living in the Midwest, thunder's not a stranger. We know all about it. We even get thunder snow at times. We've had thunderstorms before that rattle the house, but it could not have been anything like this. The Philistines panicked. This mighty army completely lost their senses and fled. The Israelites won without raising a sword. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, God's hand is anti-Philistine, and Samuel judged over Israel his whole life. Samuel was a good judge to hold the Israelites accountable. Remember the little boy who had to tell Eli what judgment God had pronounced on Eli's family? Samuel has grown up well. He obeys God above all and speaks when God asks him to, and he is silent when God asks him to be silent. He doesn't throw in his own 2 cents when delivering God's judgment. He takes his responsibility seriously and doesn't abuse it. Samuel is a prophet who is in tune with God. Who really won the battle? The Israelites didn't win the battle. God did. Samuel does not let the Israelites forget this either. Before they even leave the area, Samuel takes a stone and sets it up, reminding them that, thus far, God has helped them. Ebenezer means stone of help. At this point, the Israelites relied on God, and God took care of them. Of course, these are the people with seemingly the shortest memory on the face of the planet, so chances are good they're going to forget God again. But just because God helped them this far does not mean they can take him for granted and go it alone and be successful. But for right now, for this moment, they are safe and sound in the arms of their Maker. Does that sound at all familiar? The Israelites found time after time that when they relied on God, not themselves, not false idols, he cared for them in amazing ways. The miracles he did, demonstrating his power, were earth-shattering. Yet the Israelites found them so easy to take for granted. Don't we still do this? Don't we turn to God when things are hard, and once things get better, we forget about God and try to take the reins again? Until the next crisis. Not only are we treating God as a vending machine in the sky when we do this, but do you realize that we are shortchanging ourselves on so many levels when we do this? The blessings God has for us are not limited to rescue calls. We have access to the Creator of the universe 24/7. That's amazing. Why are we not relying on Him for our needs and thanking Him for our blessings daily? Why do we not enter into relationship with Him instead of making our conversations with Him something rote and something to be said quickly so that we can eat? When will our memories finally stretch long enough to remember where we need to be focused all the time? Look around you today. What things are you complaining about in your life today? First of all, stop complaining about those things. Seriously. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not there yet. There are definitely things that I complain about, too. Sometimes, every day. But as I sit here and consider those things, even the big things, I'm making every effort to thank God for those things. For the hard things. For the lessons He has already shown me through them, and for the lessons He is currently working with me on through those trials, and for the ways in which I don't even see that He is refining me through these trials. Remember, it truly is all for His glory. All of everything. It is for His glory that He even had grace to save me. It is for His glory that I will consciously praise Him in the storm and call out to Him day and night. We take our Father for granted in so many ways, ladies. It's time for us to realize that we are just like the Israelites, and we need to learn from their mistakes and ours. Don't wait 20 years to get right with Him. Seek Him today. Don't run to Him only when you're scared. Run to Him when you are happy, when you're blah, when you're content, wherever you are. Share the good things with Him just like you share the bad, and share the mediocre and the amazing. God wants a relationship with you. Do you want that with Him? Or do you just want what He can give you? Think about that today. And then go to Him and repent for the areas in your life where you are taking Him for granted, and ask Him to show you what it looks like to have a relationship with Him and not just a 911 call to God.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.